Welcome to The GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues, and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada.
Bienvenue au dossier d'AMC, un balado sur les gens, les enjeux et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada.
And now, introducing your host, Global Affairs Canada's Deputy Minister of International Trade, John Hannaford.
Et maintenant, voici votre animateur, John Hannaford, sous-ministre du Commerce international d'Affaires mondiales Canada.
Hello, this is Brandon Cove.
I'm Cassandra Murray.
And we are here today from the Young Professionals Network at Global Affairs Canada. And we're doing a reverse podcast of the GAC Files, where we will be interviewing Deputy Minister of International Trade, John Hannaford. But first, let us just introduce ourselves. So I'm Brandon. I'm a desk officer in our Southern and Eastern Africa Relations Division. I came to GAC a little more than 2 years ago now through a co-op placement within the Office of the Chief Economist. And that was while I was finishing my master's degree at the Norman Patterson School of International Affairs at Carleton, specializing in international development policy. And prior to all of that, I grew up in Vancouver, and that's where I did a Bachelor of Business Administration at Simon Fraser University.
So, bonjour, Monsieur le sous-ministre, et merci encore d'avoir pris le temps de vous joindre à nous pour ce balado inversé. Je m'appelle Cassandra Morin et je travaille dans le Bureau des droits de l'homme et des libertés et de l'inclusion comme conseillère principale. Je travaille au sein du ministère pour environ 4 ans. J'ai débuté comme étudiante coop comme Brandon en 2016. J'ai commencé ma carrière à la mission permanente auprès des Nations Unies à New York, après quoi j'ai travaillé avec le secrétariat des services intégrés pour 3 ans. I'm originally from Montreal, where I studied at McGill University in Political Science and International Development Studies and moved to Ottawa to do my master's at the University of Ottawa's Graduate School of Public and International Affairs.
Excellent. C'est un plaisir énorme.
Merci.
And just for the listeners that don't know, the Young Professionals Network, or the YPN, was established recently around February 2019, following the merge of a few different youth groups within the department. And we are an evolving, inclusive network of young and new employees in the department. So we facilitate professional development activities and learning opportunities, such as informal skills workshops. We also, of course, host social and networking events for our members, as well as brown bag lunches, of which you, Deputy Minister, have been a guest a few times. And finally, we advocate on issues of importance to young professionals here at GAC.
Donc, aujourd'hui, au dossier d'AMC, nous renversons les rôles en accueillant le sous-ministre du Commerce international, John Hannaford, comme invité. Nous sommes heureux d'avoir une discussion originale avec vous, Monsieur le sous-ministre, sur votre carrière et votre expérience au ministère, ainsi que les questions qui intéressent les jeunes professionnels ici au ministère. Nous avons demandé à nos membres de soumettre des questions qu'ils voulaient vous poser, et la plupart des questions que nous vous poserons viennent directement d'eux.
Excellent.
Tout d'abord, j'aimerais présenter notre invité. Le sous-ministre John Hannaford est revenu à AMC en janvier 2019 après avoir été conseiller en matière de politique étrangère et de défense auprès du premier ministre. Avant d'être nommé conseiller, le sous-ministre a eu une distinguée carrière dans le service extérieur. Il a été ambassadeur en Norvège de 2009 à 2011 après avoir occupé divers postes dans plusieurs directions au ministère et à l'ambassade du Canada à Washington. Le sous-ministre est titulaire d'un baccalauréat et or, première classe en histoire de l'Université Queen's et une maîtrise et or en relations internationales du London School of Economics. Après sa maîtrise, il a obtenu un baccalauréat en droit de l'Université de Toronto et a été admis au barreau de l'Ontario en 1995. En plus de son travail de fonctionnaire, il a été professeur auxiliaire à la Faculté de droit et à l'École supérieure d'affaires publiques et internationales de l'Université d'Ottawa. So, with all of that having been said, let us jump into our first question.
Excellent.
Donc, nous allons commencer avec une question, je pense, assez simple. Nous vous connaissons en tant que sous-ministre ici à AMC, mais je pense que nos auditeurs seraient plutôt intéressés à savoir comment vous êtes arrivé ici. Pouvez-vous nous décrire en plus de détails votre cheminement de carrière?
Absolument. Je suis né à Toronto, Scarborough, et comme vous avez dit, j'ai commencé mon carrière comme avocat. Ça, c'était mon éducation et ça, c'était la raison pour laquelle je suis ici, en fait, parce que j'étais assez attiré au sujet du droit international. Et, pour quelqu'un comme moi, il y avait seulement un choix, en effet, pour pratiquer ce type de droit. Et ça, c'était la raison pour laquelle j'étais étudiant ici, premièrement, et après ça, un agent de service extérieur. Alors, j'ai passé quelques années comme avocat. Et après ça, j'ai passé une période comme agent de service extérieur concernant le droit, concernant les politiques de commerce international. Et ça, c'était mon poste à Washington, par exemple. Et après ça, j'étais simplement gestionnaire dans un certain nombre de contextes.
Simplement.
Alors, et c'était une carrière assez intéressante pour moi. Et, you know, I grew up in a situation where working in the federal government was not actually something that I'd thought about very much. When I graduated from university, I thought at one point I might be an academic. I thought, you know, the school that I went to, a lot of people ended up just in private practice. It was a relatively unusual thing to go into the government. My wife and I were amongst the very few who actually moved to Ottawa and started working in the federal government. I think there were three of us of a class of whatever it was, about 150. And, you know, I ended up here really for reasons of subject matter in significant part. Like I said, I was very drawn to international law as a topic. But I also knew, by virtue of my wife's family, a bunch of people who had spent a career in the public service and had had very interesting experiences and I thought were very impressive people. And so I was kind of drawn to this place as a result of that. Alors, ça c'est le chemin de ma carrière.
So we mentioned that you you worked at PCO with the Prime Minister, and given your career working in different capacities, whether it be in this department or at, you know, the Privy Council, how important do you think it is for employees and young professionals in particular to get experience in other departments? As you know, employees and young professionals in this department are thinking about the next step and what experience they could get to help advance their careers. So what do you think about getting experience outside of this department?
Well, look, I did it, and I had a terrific experience at the Privy Council office. In fact, when I left Norway to start at PCO, I thought I was, you know, a year and a half, maybe 2 years there, and I was going to be back here.
Yeah.
And 7 years passed, and, you know, I think, I guess one of the lessons I've taken from that and from other parts of my career is I think there is enormous benefit to just being open to opportunities. And not necessarily having like a strict sense as to where you must go in order to see your career progress in a certain way, but rather to be kind of focus on the job you're doing. But, you know, as things come up, be open about what those things could present to you. And that was sort of what took me to PCO. And I think it's a long answer to your question. But I think for anyone in their career, you know, if there are possibilities to go work in a central agency or in another department, that can be really interesting. And that's something that you should think seriously about. But by the same token, I think people have had terrific careers staying here. And one of the huge benefits of this department is you can have an enormously varied career, you know, basically just working in various capacities within this department. So I don't think it's a sine qua non for having a, you know, seeing success in this place. But I think it's a benefit. Yeah. And I do think there are some really interesting opportunities.
Okay. Really, well, that's great advice. Thank you. But we are happy to have you back here at Global Affairs.
Well, it's been kind.
And since being back in your role as Deputy Minister of International Trade, you've shown a lot of support for the Young Professionals Network. And as you may know, Prime Minister Trudeau, as Minister of Youth, has set the priority to include youth in decision-making, most notably through the launch of Canada's youth policy recently, which now must be implemented across the federal government. So within this context, committing more to increasing the participation and inclusion of youth, how vital do you think it is for young professionals to have a voice at Global Affairs, and how do you think the department can better harness the energy of the next generation here?
That's a great question. I think it's incredibly important. It's one of the reasons why I think this is a great opportunity. It's good to have a chance to chat with you. But I, as you were mentioning earlier, I've tried to do a reasonable amount of outreaches myself to the kind of structures that exist for youth participation. And, you know, I think a couple things. One of them, I think it's terrific that these are spontaneously created networks. Like, it's much more... Well, I'm sure it's much more rewarding in the sense that you shape these things to your needs rather than it being some sort of imposed structure where we must have a youth, you know, thing that I think is appropriate. That's probably not going to be all that meaningful for you. So the fact that you have created these networks and brought them together and put together the programs that you find important, I think is essential, actually, to the legitimacy of the exercise. And I think it's really important that people like me talk to you and make sure that there is an open door and that there's a good connection between all parts of this department, frankly. And I think I met relatively recently with some of the champions for various employment equity issues. Yes. And like, it's so important that we have these kinds of, they're not volunteer activities, but they're activity outside of the regular course of work because they just contribute to the overall strength of this organization. And I think it's short answer is, I think it's essential that we have these dialogues. And I think, you know, the vibrancy that is going to be the future of this department comes from people doing precisely what you're doing right now.
Well, thank you. Let's keep it going.
Exactly.
So as we mentioned, we did put a call out to our members about the types of questions that they would want to ask you. And the most popular question by far was, what do you wish you knew when you first started out in the public service? And what advice would you then give your younger self?
D'être plus calme, honnêtement. J'étais, comme débutant, j'étais assez nerveux et pas confiant. Je pense que ça c'est pas rare. C'est une expérience assez commune. Mais pour moi, ça c'était un vrai défi. And I wish I could have just... kind of taken the advice that I gave you just a few minutes ago, like not worry too much about what was going to happen next.
Être présent.
D'être présent, d'être, and to enjoy the kind of the work that we get an opportunity to do. And you know, I don't want to exaggerate that, because when I first started, I felt extraordinarily privileged to be here, and I felt extraordinarily privileged to have an opportunity to actually work on some of the files that I got a chance to do. I was doing world court litigation as a first-year lawyer, which was an incredible experience. So I recognized that. But I also, I had a lot of sleepless nights, and I worried a lot. And I think, you know, it's obviously a turn of mind, but I think it's also just a time in life. And I worried about how, you know, things were going to unfold. And as I look back now, at my great age, you can sort of see there's a logic to my career, but it was not a career that I would have predicted. I never thought I was going to be doing this job. I guess what I've taken from that is I kind of wish I didn't fuss too much. And I had a tendency to fuss.
It'll all be okay.
Well, yeah. And I mean, more to the point, you just can't predict. You don't know. And worrying is actually not going to help very much. Just letting things happen.
No, that's great. I think it's important to be focused on the present, because as young professionals as well, I think we're always thinking about the next step. But
and how to get there, and not necessarily maybe immersing ourselves as much as we could in the work that we're doing and learning as much as we can. So I think that's really important.
As young professionals, we are, well, back to the next step, we are always thinking about kind of what skills we can build to progress in our careers, kind of along the lines of professional development. So we would be curious to know, I guess, what are among the top qualities that you might see in great employees?
Yeah, that's another great question. One of the things I am proud of in my career was
the team that I had in my previous job, because I was there for long enough that you sort of saw things evolve. And I was very proud of the fact that we recruited people who were clever, but also excellent team players. And over the course of my time at PCO, I was very, very lucky to have a bunch of people who wanted to be there and who just were a pleasure to work with. And I think for government generally, this is a team sport. No one's a sole practitioner in the government, because there's no policy issue that doesn't touch on any number of different areas of activity. True. There's no service we provide that doesn't require sort of a broader network within the government, and there are no programs that we provide that don't sort of touch on multiple people. And so that ability to work with others is essential here for me. And so playing well is just a kind of a sine qua non for us, in addition to excellent knowledge of whatever your files are and an ability to actually get stuff done. So that's one of the things I'm really proud of in this department too, because I think there is, I've been really struck being back here by the collegiality of the people that I've been interacting with and the sense of just sort of a mission to the place. Mm-hmm. You know, people are here because they want to be doing this stuff. We're lucky to be doing this stuff. And I think that's something that you see reflected, and it matters a lot.
Mm-hmm. We are pretty lucky.
I think so. So on the subject of being proud and accomplishments, pourriez-vous nous parler de certains de vos réalisations, donc vous êtes le plus fier ou des expériences les plus mémorables au cours de votre carrière? Mm. I'm sure there are many, many stories you could share with us today. Or
or not.
Or not.
I've been extraordinarily fortunate. And I mentioned, actually, that, you know, I find comprising teams something that really is incredibly rewarding. If you think of individual files, I've been incredibly fortunate to be at least around the edges of some really interesting files that have mattered for us as a country. Mm-hmm. I think, though, as well, my previous incarnation, I was briefly a human rights lawyer had the opportunity to complete our negotiation of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
Wow.
And which I think is a very important instrument. But also just having the chance to see something through to completion is huge. And so that was a very rewarding experience. Having the opportunity to work for two prime ministers and see those, files evolve at that level was absolutely an extraordinary privilege. So, comme j'ai dit, je suis assez chanceux. Hello.
Merci.
We're happy to hear about some of those memorable experiences, you know, big accomplishments, but maybe just the listeners might be interested to know, is there any kind of little known facts about yourself that we wouldn't already know, something you could share?
Maybe most surprising fact?
I'm not sure how surprising anyone. I'm a pretty keen cook, among other things.
Okay.
So that's something that I've been keen on. For those of you who can't see me, you may not be. I'm a person of a certain size, so that's
you have time to cook?
I love cooking. That is really one of my principal hobbies and points of relaxation. And so that's something that I is, you know, a principal activity for me outside of the office. Mm-hmm. I have two Bassetowns. I don't know that there are many other things surprising about me. Pretty ordinary.
Well, it's interesting because we did want to ask you a little bit about, like, on the subject of mental health and mental well-being, and we were curious to know how you maintain a work-life balance in such a high-demanding job. I think even sometimes as young and new employees, we struggle with maintaining that, either, I don't know, working overtime or trying to
prove ourselves. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
You know, sometimes it's a bit difficult to take yourself out of that and actually focus on self-care or whatever it may be. So, yeah, we'd be curious to hear.
As I said, I've struggled with that myself. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I always succeed now. My own experience has partially been as I've got older, I've got calmer. And I don't think that's that unusual experience, but it's just true. I think you put in context some of the things that you're worried about. And so that's made a difference. But, I do have a lot of interests outside of the office, and that's been important to maintain as well. And I mentioned cooking, I mentioned my dogs. My family's obviously extraordinarily important to me. Mm-hmm. And I try and when I'm out of the office, try and focus on the things I'm doing out of the office. As I say, not always successfully. And I mean, one of the other realities of the life that we live is things are going on in the world for 24 hours. And so you can always be immersing yourself. And with the joy of telecommunications, you can always be engaged too. So there, it's a active effort to make sure that you create the space to be doing other things and not just thinking always about our lives here. And, that's an ongoing struggle. And I can't say I've sort of mastered it by any stretch of the imagination, but it is something I'm conscious of, and I do try and...
And I guess having the intention is already a first step,
so.
Right?
Yeah. I hope so. And obviously, there are times when you're going to be busier and times when you're not. And I think that's part of the life lesson for me too, is when you are not busy, don't make yourself busy. You can actually take some time and rebuild. But when you need to throw yourself into something, then you need to do that.
Yeah.
And I guess it goes to being present, not only in your career and in your job, but also when you're away from that job and you're at home.
Absolutely right.
So as a senior manager in this department and, having held different leadership positions and in other capacities, as we young professionals look forward to hopefully eventually being in leadership positions, what do you think, whether from other leaders that you've worked with or within yourself, what do you think is like one characteristic that every leader should, I guess, seek to emulate or seek to, encompass?
I think it's difficult to come up with one, but I do think...
Or a few.
I think being engaged with the team that you have is extraordinarily important. I think having compassion and empathy for the people who you're working with is incredibly important. I think having a sense of then where that team needs to go is extraordinarily important too, and being able to then create the conditions for whatever those objectives are to be met. So those are things that I've tried to emphasize in the course of my career, and I think they're things that matter across any organization and can ideally contribute to the health of the organization and the effectiveness of it.
Have you had many mentors over the course of your career?
Many, many mentors.
Yeah. Many, many?
Yeah.
Is there one that stands out that you think made the most impact, or?
Oh, I've been very lucky there, too.
The Prime Minister?
I've worked, as I say, for two prime ministers, and I you learn a lot just from the process of doing that. But in terms of people early in my career who were helpful, there were many, and it's hard actually to come up with any single name. Although I would say like Colleen Swords, for instance, who was an assistant deputy minister here, and then went on to become a deputy minister elsewhere, was extraordinarily important to me early on in my career and was very supportive. Marie-Lucie Morin, who was a former deputy minister here, was also an extraordinarily important person for me at various points in time. So I've been lucky in a lot of ways to have people who have just been there. If you want to talk about something or if you aren't sure about next steps, somebody who you can call and get some unvarnished advice. And that's kind of a critical piece, I think, for anyone in their career.
Yeah.
It's maybe a species of what I was saying earlier, that because this is a team sport, like you do get in, you have all sorts of relationships with all sorts of people, and that's a huge strength of this as a work environment, I think.
Before we wrap up, do you have any final parting words of wisdom for young professionals?
Oh, that was
department?
A lot of wisdom.
It was a lot, but maybe some, I don't know.
Actually, I had a question for both of you.
Oh, goodness, okay.
So why are you here? What drew you to this place? You both did masters, so you're interested in the subject areas, but just kind of interested in your own stories.
What drew us to the department?
Yeah.
I think, well, I mentioned earlier that I had studied business administration back in Vancouver, but and during that time, I actually ended up doing an internship at the United Nations Secretariat, so more in a project management role, but having the opportunity to, you know, go during my break to the Security Council chamber and see what was happening in the world really inspired me. And that was towards the end of my bachelor's degree, so when I came back, I was looking, what can I do to get to the department and work at Global Affairs to contribute to that? And that's why I ended up going to NIPSIA at Carleton University, which led me to a co-op here.
And here I am.
And for me, I learned about the UN in high school, and it just kind of, even though I was from Montreal and I had been exposed to a lot of different cultures and the world, it just, I don't know, something, it lit a fire in me, I think. And I had the privilege of going to Ghana and Uganda when I was at McGill and kind of traveling the world a bit and working abroad. And at that point, I'd always had a passion for human rights. And that's what really drew me to do my master's in international affairs and studying, in particular, international human rights law. And then, getting a co-op position here, having the opportunity to work at the UN mission in New York. Again, just further kind of embedded that passion. So I feel very privileged as well to be here.
Yeah, definitely very privileged.
And the work we do is just so interesting. And it's great to work on files that have a real impact on people. So that's been...
It's a similar story, I think, for many young professionals that have got here. You know, they were passionate about international affairs. Many of them moved to the region to do a master's here. And,
I don't think you just stumble into GAC. I think it's something that a lot of people
pursue.
Pursue, exactly.
Comme j'ai dit, c'est un plaisir énorme.
Merci. Donc, le temps passe vite et nous sommes déjà arrivés à la fin de notre balado. Au nom des membres de notre réseau, nous vous remercions infiniment encore d'avoir pris le temps de nous parler et encore pour votre soutien pour les jeunes professionnels ici au ministère. Je crois que je parle pour nous deux quand je dis que votre carrière est vraiment inspirante et que le ministère est vraiment chanceux de vous avoir comme sous-ministre.
And as we wrap up, I just wanted to also say that support from senior managers such as yourself is really indispensable to us here. And if I could, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank one of my former managers, who is my mentor, Sacha Levesard-Rivard. He was actually a guest on the GAC Files last year when it was hosted by David Morrison. Yes, and he... spoke a bit to, you know, some of the challenges that young professionals face here and really praised the talented work that he saw being done by his team and other young employees. So he's really been a continued champion for us, just as yourself. So, yeah, I just had to throw that in.
Good.
And as you know, the department is filled to the brim with young and inspiring young professionals that are dedicated to their work. So this interview was about you, Deputy Minister, and your career. And we really hope that we can continue to count on you and your colleagues to give young professionals a voice and harness the energy of the next generation of employees.
You can.
Yeah. Donc encore une fois, merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
Merci.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us for future episodes of The GAC Files.
Merci d'avoir écouté le balado, et nous espérons que vous vous joindrez à nous pour les épisodes futurs des dossiers d'AMC.
If you have feedback or suggestions for future topics or guests, please send us an email at xtot-ldce@international.gc.ca.
Si vous avez des commentaires ou des suggestions concernant des sujets futurs ou de nouveaux invités, veuillez nous envoyer un courriel à xtot-ldce@commercialinternational.gc.ca.